So as a reminder, if you're not yet a member of the Occupational Health program, please come see me because we love members. Thank you. Okay, as you all get settled down, I'm excited to introduce our next speaker. Elizabeth Marshall is a faculty within the Department of Epidemiology at Rutgers School of Public Health in New Jersey. She teaches as well as conducts research in the areas of environmental and occupational epidemiology. Prior to coming to Rutgers, Dr. Marshall directed the Occupational Health Surveillance Program for the New York State Department of Health. She received her master's and doctorate in epidemiology from UNC School of Public Health. Welcome.
Hello. I'll try to be as exciting as possible given the time of day, but it's tough. So I have nothing to declare. We have no money. I just want to acknowledge that the authors on this actually are just myself and Renzo Flores from the School of Public Health, but this is a multi-year, long-term project with two other organizations, Michelle Oshner and Carmen Martino from the Rutgers School of Management and Labor Relations, and as well our representatives from New Labor, which is a membership-based worker center in New Jersey, Marianne Casillas-Pavillon and Lou Kemmel and Germania Hernandez. And the funding for this project was primarily from CPWR, from NIOSH through CPWR, although Rutgers and New Labor and New Labor's foundation funding also provided some in-kind. So just a background, I'm going to talk a little bit about the overall Hispanic worker construction situation in New Jersey, this safety liaison program, the overall program, and then talk about specifically the development and use of safety audits by those liaisons, the results of those safety audits, and then our next steps. Okay, so this is New Jersey, for those of you who don't know New Jersey. And obviously, New Jersey has 8 million people, and there's another 8 million people over there to the right, and there's 5 million people over there to the left in Philadelphia. So it's a very densely populated state, and that poses some advantages because there's a lot of people, a lot of workers, but some disadvantages in terms of there's a lot of, as I will say in a second, there's a lot of transportation of workers across state lines and into different places, and we never quite know where they're going, and they often don't have any idea where they are. Okay, wait a minute, sorry. Okay, so the setting, as I described, is in residential and small-scale construction. We had the same issue that has been described here when we first started this project. The bottom dropped out of the construction market, so there's really was not a lot of new construction going on during this time frame, but there continued to be a lot of renovation. And now, of course, after Hurricane Sandy, there's a lot of renovation. But so there's almost no union contracts in small-scale and residential construction in New Jersey. Most of the workers are minority. Many of the owners and the supervisors are also immigrants. They may or may not speak Spanish. There's a lot of Eastern Europeans and Portuguese and people from all over the world who have construction companies. Laborers are transported to places both in New Jersey, often to New York City, and there is little health and safety knowledge or oversight among workers and employers. This is just a guy. So the safety liaison program is something that we're in almost the fifth year of this project now, funded by CPWR. So the safety liaisons, the purpose were to help choose and train safety liaisons. New safety liaisons, I'm sorry, there's a mistake there, but these safety liaisons would bring attention to and lead to changes at their own work sites. And the idea for safety liaisons grew out of New Labor and Rutgers' long-term project of training day laborers and other Hispanic workers. And those workers had expressed, there was clearly a lot of exchange that went on among workers and a lot of improvements that they would consider and they would approach if other workers knew more about it and they worked together to improve the situation. Mainly because, as you've probably gathered, they have limited limited power to create change on their own worksite. So the purpose of the safety liaisons is to organize discussion and action around fellow workers' health and safety, to hopefully implement some level of OSHA referral, and to enhance New Labor's role as an organization and to continue to improve New Labor's role in health and safety. So this was the implementation. We developed training for safety liaisons, combining OSHA 10 and leadership schools. Leadership skills. There's policies and procedures to monitor the liaisons. We definitely encouraged safety liaisons to take over leadership, and they were trained in leadership skills. And we used surveys, interviews, and what I'm going to describe here, safety audits, to evaluate and to inspire ongoing improvement in the program in general. So why safety audits? Well, we've heard about them, actually. The audits we use are similar in concept, at least, to what has been described previously in the two previous presentations. So we wanted to quantify the level of hazards and availability of safety equipment and features. I mean, one of the issues is that, you know, we all say, and everybody says, that, you know, construction, small residential construction, are horrible conditions. There's no safety training. There's no this. There's no that. But it's all kind of conjecture. And so we really wanted to try to fill that in with some level of data, however rough. So it also, the audits also provide a menu for our newly trained safety liaisons to kind of know what they should be addressing at their work sites. We used it as a teaching tool for training. And it also, we are using it to help evaluate the safety liaison program. So this is a guy who's hopefully not about to fall off that roof. But that's a very typical situation in residential construction. One guy, he's, you know, somehow got up there and hopefully is not going to come down. But so how did we get the audit? So I want to give credit to, actually, I talked to Vicki Yaskudis, who did this. We talked to Cora about the program in Massachusetts. So we looked at various audits, also audits that are used on farms, audits that are used by insurers. There are a lot of sort of safety checklists available, and we tried to find a mix of those that were relatively accurate but not too involved so that workers or trained workers could actually implement them. We focused on hazards that had been suggested over the past 5 or 10 years. New Labor and Rutgers have trained hundreds, essentially, of day laborers and other construction workers at OSHA 10 and other participatory training methods. So we focused on the hazards that they had reported as being concerned about. But, you know, obviously in construction, the big one for safety are the focus four, falls, struck by, et cetera. And also, we were concerned about machine hazards like nail gun injuries and also some level of illness prevention, for example, silica and heat and lead, although that had, you'll see, is a little bit less successful in our audit process. So we went through several iterations in English, then it was translated into Spanish, then we actually pre-tested this both with safety professionals and union representatives and anybody we could find that would look at it. In addition, we actually pre-tested the audit with a group of people that were interested in becoming safety liaisons, and they suggested some specific format changes. For example, we made them very small so that they could put them in their back pocket. It makes the printing them a big hassle, but that was that change. So the audit form includes 9 aspects of safety: protective equipment, ladders, scaffolds, fall protection, machine hazards, heat stress, lead, excavation, and electrical hazards. We did make some changes. We found out that a lot of the electrical hazards, the liaisons, there's just no way they could see that those types of hazards. They couldn't really had no way of looking at whether that circuit was closed or you know, shut down, or whether it was ground fault. Whether it was protected, et cetera. So we did make some changes. We added excavation. It also includes some questions on the specific actions by the safety liaison at that work site. These are completed at site, after work, or from the sidewalk. This was another thing that we didn't really expect, but has turned out to be more useful than we thought. So originally, as a training tool, we actually started doing safety audits from the sidewalk. So we would go out with a group of workers, and of course this is facilitated by urban environments where you can just, you know, in downtown Newark there's construction going on all over the place. You walk over with, of course it made some supervisors a little nervous, but five people looking at their site with a piece of paper in their hand. But you know, it's public site. They can't really keep you away from the sidewalk. So it turned out that became actually both a process of training and also kind of an empowering tool for workers, partially because they could do these audits of those sites, and if they weren't working there, they weren't in a position of potential retaliation, which is a problem at the sites that they were working at. So we actually ended up doing a lot of sidewalk audits, which I think turned out to be interesting. Okay, so over the past four years, actually, we have trained 23 safety liaisons. We've lost about half of them every year, partially because the construction industry, people get other jobs because the construction industry has been so dismal. We have 18 safety liaisons completed audits from 2 to 14 each, so they're not required to do audits. And part of it is that these safety liaisons are regular workers. They are trained for the time that they spend in the train-the-trainer, but they actually paid no extra for these safety liaisons. We really didn't have room in the budgets to pay the liaisons to do audits. So from we actually are now up to 200 and something, but from the data that I presented here are from the first 2 years, we have 171 audits. Safety audits, approximately half were done as a sidewalk audit and half at sites where they were working. This is just, I'm not sure that these colors came out right, but basically this is just an example of one of the nine. This is for ladders. And I'm not going to present all the results because it's a lot of little data, but I will give some basics. So this actually, for example, are the results for the PPE. So you can see, I'm just going to highlight a little bit. It's hard to sort of summarize all this data in one format. But you can see, first of all, that at the sidewalk audits, only about 40% had hard hats. About half had hard hats at the sites that they were working. And then the PPE percentages went down from there, basically. There's very little evidence that there was any training for respirators or for hearing protection. There's certainly no medical or fit testing for any of the PPE. And then a couple things to notice here. First of all, that as we go forward, it became clear that the sidewalk audits actually were consistently poorer conditions than the sites at work, and that was sort of unexpected. We did conduct a focus group with our liaisons to try to understand those reasons, which I can, if we have time, I can try to get to. So these, I'm picking out the ones that we felt were major problems. We really came to the conclusion that scaffolds, ladders actually were sort of better in terms of their conditions. Scaffolds, which are used quite a bit in urban construction on, you know, apartment buildings and things like that, were generally poor. They seemed to be slapped up with whatever they could think of, and so the conditions at scaffolds were not, in general, poor. There was very little fall protection, and there was also kind of a mishmash of platforms. Let me just keep going. So you can see, again, that the conditions are not up to par, and also that the sidewalk audits were somewhat lower than the, and this is just some examples of conditions. This is in Newark, I think. And there is a guy, I don't know if you can see him, there's a guy, poor guy over there in the corner, up there. This was, again, machine hazards, and this I picked out to try to highlight the idea that there really was no training at these sites. And let me get one more bit of information I missed that had to do with So one of the problems is that we ask questions like, is the harness worn properly and attached to secure anchorage? But somehow we forgot to sort of ask, or it didn't come out, well, was there a harness at all? And so the reason there are only eight answers there is because, and this is a fault of the audit process, there was only eight harnesses identified at all. So out of 171 sites, there was eight harnesses available. I mean, there was only eight or ten, you know, so the fall protection was very rare, I guess is the short version of that. And so this reinforced, these results, the survey results at the end of the audits reinforced what we had already known, that work, the safety liaisons, even trained safety liaisons as opposed to average workers, feel more comfortable talking to their fellow workers than they do through the supervisor. And that, of course, makes sense. Many of these supervisors, when we had plenty of evidence that at many times if a safety liaison or a regular worker or whoever asked the supervisor about safety, they would be immediately fired. So there were plenty of instances where they were concerned about this, and so that's one reason. There's a somewhat rational reason why these results are true. So in general, as I've mentioned, the results were hazardous. There's a wide gap between what is theoretically required and actually present. We did have the audit's results were not perfect. We don't have really a good, although we did accompany the safety liaisons and the safety professionals did review what they said, we don't have confirmation of the results. We did show that liaisons can, at least these trained workers can successfully complete the audits. They vary by frequency. Some liaisons are more comfortable than others in doing this kind of work. And that we know that safety liaisons did engage the employers and many workers. So the next steps really are just, we're going to try to continue to do these safety audits. They're being used in a mobile application that funded by OSHA, money given to OSHA, to New Labor by OSHA for safety and health related to rebuilding after Sandy. And we're trying to reach out to employers and also to communicate these findings via the media and to try and engage from the top down, i.e. the employers, not just the workers. I want to thank our safety liaisons. These are some of them at this. This is an OSHA training. Beatrice from OSHA was doing a scaffold training for us. And this is just showing them in at work, so to speak. And that's some other data. So thank you. And if anybody wants, I have a few Spanish safety audits, and I can obviously send you one if you want it.
Thank you very much.